This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 3rd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. For more than 100 years, the go-to way to administer vaccinations has been via needles and syringes. But like most aging technologies, needles have their drawbacks. Now, some companies are developing other solutions. And as COVID-19 vaccines are rolled out around the world, they see an opportunity to usher in their alternatives. Our reporter Jason Douglas will join us with more after these headlines. The Chinese billionaire Jack Ma is no longer China's richest man. An annual research report released yesterday now ranks Ma and his family fortune fourth in the country. The news comes as Chinese regulators are stepping up their scrutiny of Ma's businesses. The e-commerce giant he co-founded, Alibaba, is being investigated for potential antitrust violations. And his fintech company, Ant Group, was forced to restructure its online lending model. By the way, Ant also had to call off its blockbuster initial public offering last year, which would have been the world's largest. And it appears that Ant is now grappling with low employee morale in the aftermath. Many workers received share-based compensation, and they had been expecting to reap a windfall from the IPO. In a post on the company's internal website, Ant's executive chairman said it's looking for ways to eventually take the company public and help workers monetize some of their shares. And COVID-19 vaccines are becoming more widely available in the U.S. But even if you're eligible to get one, it's not easy to get an appointment.
Yeah, I would put booking a vaccine online right now somewhere in between full-on Hunger Games, booking some crazy concert, maybe a Beyonce concert, and then the internet from 1995.
That's our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. In her latest column, she braved shoddy websites and fractured information systems to come up with a foolproof guide to actually booking your slot. Here are some of her top tips.
Number one, look at your local Facebook groups or Twitter accounts to see if they're posting the most recent appointments at certain locations, especially the pharmacy locations. Number two, prep your web browser. Get all your information into autofill, your name, address, email address, phone number, date of birth. That's going to help you save time when you score the appointment. You can just click, get all your information in there right away. Number three is you can try some web browser extensions that refresh web pages for you, or you can try something called Visual Ping. This is a site that will watch websites for you and alert you when there is a change to it.
You can find Joanna's full column, including an interview with an IT guy who's used these methods to book hundreds of vaccine appointments for seniors, on our website, WSJ.com, and on the WSJ app. If you are lucky enough to lock down a vaccine appointment, it'll probably be administered to you via needle and syringe. But some people are trying to change that. We'll have more on what they're working on after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
COVID-19 vaccines are being distributed around the world. The first of them were developed in record time using a groundbreaking new technology called mRNA. But to administer the shots, healthcare providers are leaning on a pretty old-school technology, needles and syringes. Now, some technologists are trying to come up with alternatives to the needle. And with all the attention on vaccine rollout, they think now could be their moment. Here to talk more about this is our reporter, Jason Douglas. Hey, Jason, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Amanda.
Okay, so can we just go back to the beginning? Where does the traditional needle and syringe tech come from, and why are they so ubiquitous now?
It's pretty old. The invention of the hypodermic needle is usually credited to a chap in Dublin, a physician in Dublin, about 1844. And it's been kind of the mainstay for vaccination efforts, you know, ever since, right through the 20th century. I mean, some of us might remember things like sugar lumps for polio, and things like sort of jet guns that shoot squirt liquid through your skin. But those have never really caught on. And the needle, because it's so cheap and effective and ubiquitous, it has never really been unseated.
And so why do people want to move away from needles?
Well, the first thing is they're not very pleasant, right? Very few of us actually enjoy getting an injection. Some people are terrified of it. Vaccine hesitancy is a problem for all sorts of reasons. The fact that you have to go and get a needle injected into you is probably at least part of that. There are distribution issues as well, right? You have to actually go where the vaccine is. So it's pretty rare for any of us can inject a family member or anything like that. We all have to troop along to the doctor's surgery or to the vaccination center and get someone to jab a needle into our arms. There are other problems, things around, for example, because we need so many vaccines for this pandemic, there have been issues around supply, particularly things like glass vials. And then, of course, the liquids that we have to put in the syringes, some of them have to be stored at super low temperatures. So it's simple, it's cheap, but there's all sorts of infrastructure associated with it that isn't necessarily ideal.
And so people have been coming up with alternatives. Can you talk about some of those? What do they look like?
There's a whole bunch. Some are things that you squirt up your nose. Some are things that you pop under your tongue. There's a whole load of different ways of trying to get something through your skin that isn't a long needle, if you like. So a couple of people are developing sort of what are called microneedle patches or microneedle arrays, which are a bit like, they look a bit like little espresso pods, and they have little patches on them that sort of tattoo your skin with vaccine, if you like, although it's not supposed to hurt so much. There are people doing even more elaborate things, such as sort of electrostimulation of one sort or another that enables you to get vaccine into the skin. And then there are a couple of people doing, you know, some really interesting stuff around solid implants. So little tiny, tiny, smaller than a grain of rice, little tubes of sugars with vaccine in them that they can pop under your skin. So there are lots of different technologies. Things like the nasal spray you might be familiar with for flu vaccine. So some have a little bit of history and some are kind of brand new.
Got it. So we're not quite at the hypo sprays from Star Trek yet, it sounds like. Jason, we're obviously in sort of a big moment for vaccine administration. How do proponents of these new alternatives imagine that they would alleviate some of the logistical challenges that we're seeing now?
Their sort of argument is that the scales are falling from people's eyes because the needle is kind of, although it's simple and cheap on the face of it, because you've got to get people to vaccinations and all that kind of stuff, it's actually kind of expensive. They imagine a sort of world where assuming regulatory approval is forthcoming, you could get a booster shot against some new COVID variant, for example, in the mail, right? So it would arrive as a patch or a tablet or something like that, and you could just sort of take it at home. You wouldn't need all these big freezers. You could just store things more easily on a shelf. And one, you know, really important part of this, which we haven't touched on yet, is there are lots of places in the world where you can't get trained doctors or nurses who can inject something into your arm. And you might not have a fridge that can store something at minus 20 degrees Celsius, if not even lower. And so they feel that some of their technologies can really help get vaccines to some of these poorer places and more remote places of the world.
So as we've talked about, these technologies are in development now. How likely is this vision of the future to sort of come to fruition?
It's hard to say. I think the likeliest sort of outcome is that you would see at least some of these technologies make a bit of headway, particularly in the sort of getting vaccines to distant parts of the world sort of area. They're backed, that sort of effort is backed by people like BARDA, the United States Research Organization, people like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It's just hard to say. I mean, the needle is kind of so untouchable, if you like, in a way, just because it's so enmeshed in the whole way we think about healthcare, that it sometimes seems hard to imagine a different world. I think the big difference here is they've had these false starts in the past with different vaccine delivery technologies. The difference here is that there's just so much attention and so many investment dollars pouring into vaccine research that they think this time, you know, this is certainly going to be their best opportunity, if you like, to really make a bit of progress and get these technologies to market.
All right. That's our reporter, Jason Douglas. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.